Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, or now that we have everything figured out, listening on Spotify after the fact. Jaden and I have a lot, and I mean a lot, to talk about on today's show. Before we get into the weeds of things, the women's swimming and diving team are about 28 minutes away from their first event here at the UI Swim Center against Washington State, starting at 10:30 a.m. So that's pretty cool if you have nothing to do at 11 o'clock after you're done listening to the show. Feel free to hop on up to the Swim Center. And the women's tennis team is also at home today. Their meet got moved from whatever the original time was to 2:30, which is quite unfortunate. But they are taking on Brigham Young University at 2:30 p.m. in the P1 FCU Kibbe Dome. They are coming off two games, one down in California, beating UC Riverside 6-1 and UC Irvine 5-2. And their game against UC San Diego was canceled. So currently sitting at 2-1 on the Young season and taking on BYU today. So pretty exciting stuff. And then my favorite thing to talk about, track and field / cross country, is over in Eastern and Western Washington. Some are up in Spokane, some are over in Seattle. The team, or some of the members that are over, actually I don't know where this team was competing at because they didn't put it on there, but yesterday was a big day for a lot of Vandals, as the women's distance medley relay team of Kachapatis, Franziska Storr, Leah Holmgren, and Constance Paoli hit a school record time of 11 minutes 21.69 seconds. It's a pretty nice time, if you ask me. It's the 10th fastest time in the nation. Picked it up yesterday. Also, Sam Fulbright, another Fergus High Golden Eagle, ran a personal best of 8 minutes 19.85 seconds in the men's 3K, which is the third fastest time in University of Idaho history. And Pia Kircher and Abigail Thomas both ran personal bests in their 3Ks, with Kircher finishing in 9 minutes 52.42 seconds and Thomas finishing in 10 minutes 3.5 seconds. And once again, the DMR team broke the 19-year-old school record with the 10th fastest DMR time in the nation. And this was in Seattle, because they're in Spokane today and weren't there yesterday. So this all happened in Seattle, Washington yesterday at the University of Washington Invitational. And as I mentioned, still some over in Seattle, some at the Inland Northwest Invitational in Spokane. With all that being said, in the 5 minutes that took, good job me, boom, we're going to move on to a topic that, according to Brian Marceau, nobody with a mic will talk on. So I felt a little called out. So Jaden and I, mostly Jaden, because he did a lot more research into this than I did, are going to move into what has been rightfully deemed the, quote, volleyball situation, unquote. It's not just talking about volleyball. It has been a full-blown situation for about 3 years now. And rather than, let's see, what's the nicest way to put this, Jane?
Doing the rebuild?
Rather than rebuilding and doing the intelligent thing, Terry Golic announced the appointment of Romano Redondo Kriskova as the head volleyball coach to, quote, lead the Idaho women's volleyball team in 2025. She was the interim head coach last season, in the 2024 season, finishing with
one win,
an incredible record of 1-26 overall. that one win being at Siena College in Loudonville, New York, and only winning six sets
yeah.
on the season, three at Siena College, obviously, and then one at UC Riverside, one against Fortland State in the home opener, and then the other one against Montana State on November 7th, where they lost 3-1. So, Jaden, kind of walk us through a little bit about who Coach Kruskova is and kind of how we got to this moment and what this season will look like for the Idaho volleyball team.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I did some research on it, but, I mean, just from the Tubs of the Club podcast and other things that I've heard, the whole thing is not against her. Like, no one is really against Coach Romana. I mean, she hasn't really done anything wrong. So, just really to start out with that, most people don't have a thing against her. I mean, heck, she could turn out to be a great head coach. But I believe the problem that we're seeing is that she has no experience being a head coach. She's still a young person and a young head coach. I mean, this is only, I think, her second coaching job. She played at the University of Wisconsin, which our athletic department loves people from the University of Wisconsin, apparently. And so, but I really think that this time was a time that the volleyball could have reset and could have moved on from that era, the Chris Gonzalez era, and just put that in the rear view window and move forward with a volleyball program that before Gonzalez was a pretty good team. I mean, I don't know the exact stat, but they competed for championships. They won a couple of them. I mean, so to go from that to winning six sets all season and to have everything that happened over the last 2 years with, I mean, no one in Moscow really needs to know. It needs to be reminded of what happened. And so that whole ordeal with Gonzalez, him getting bought out by the university, which I don't know if you and I have talked on air about how dumb that was, but the whole situation's been dumb. I mean, the whole way the university handled this, I'm trying to be as nice as I can be. Just wasn't the most logical step for them. There is one thing that gets under my nerves, and I'm sure gets under a lot of people's nerves. When a university chooses a coach over student athletes, and I mean, obviously they did, because with the whole situation going unreported for almost 2 years, it's just, come on, guys, like, be better. But this whole thing, I mean, we've only seen the sample size, right? We only saw our one season, one win, six sets. I will say they have gotten better with, like, in United States recruiting. I shouldn't have to say that about a college inside the United States, but they've gotten better with that. I just think, I mean, no offense to all the internationals, but to have a solely international program is not going to really work when volleyball internationally and volleyball here are totally different. I think Romana will bring both. She was also a former player, so I believe that will help. But I do really think the university let down the student athletes because they had a chance to completely burn down, tear, and build back up the University of Idaho volleyball program, and they decided not to.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like Jaden said, it's really nothing against Coach Kryskova. It's just that this was the perfect opportunity to move away from really probably the second, third worst scandal this university has had. I mean, you look at football, really, where the other maybe first and second scandals appear. But, and you mentioned this was a program that was, you know, good. Never great, really, but you look at Coach Buchanan, who won or was tied for first in the Big Sky Conference, 23-10, 15-3 in conference play in 2018. Her final season was nothing to write home about, 5-20, 2-14 in conference play, 6-11, 5-9 in conference in 2021. But when you look at it, that's better than 4-24, 1-15, 1-27, 0-16, and a huge abuse scandal with Chris Gonzalez. And I mean, this was the perfect opportunity to move forward. And I think that, you know, to take a program that people enjoyed, that people wanted to come to and watch games. It just, I mean, Coach Buchanan was 320-317, sitting at 500 basically over her career.
Yeah, just above 500, yeah.
I mean, she was not the greatest coach of all time. That's Tom Hilbert. But, you know, she was good, you know, and she was somebody that people liked, people could connect with, who players could connect with. And, you know, Kryskova wasn't involved really with anything that happened under Coach Gonzalez. She wasn't the assistant coach driving players 100 miles an hour, but she was still there. You know, she still has the connection
to Gonzalez.
Gonzalez. And you look at now that I feel so bad for Colton for having to deal with this in his first couple of weeks on the job as the new assistant athletic director of communications. But Emma Patterson, former Vandal, who now
she is graduating, I think.
I think she graduated.
Yeah.
But this is the top comment on the post about Coach Kryskova getting hired full-time, removing the interim title. She said, quote, "Entire team was celebrating when the job was posted in hopes we would get a real coach. Not surprised that Vandal Athletics let the program and athletes down again," end quote. Julia Dickinson, another Vandal volleyball player, "When have they ever done something to support us?" So this isn't really just, you know, everybody on the outside looking in, this is a terrible hire. I mean, as Brian Marceau commented on this, you know, national embarrassment. And it's nothing against Coach Kryskova directly. I mean, she doesn't have head coaching experience outside of last year being an interim head coach. Yeah. You know, she was good at Wisconsin, like good player overall. But you know, you go and you have the opportunity to say, okay, we're gonna figure this out. We're gonna move forward. You know, even if the new coach goes 1-27 again, at least we're moving forward. And I think that's is the thing that Vandal fans and players are disappointed about. Is the fact that we wouldn't move forward with this. And in all honesty, it's just lazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you had two other coaches come and interview for this job. Like, you went through the full interview process. Why do that if you're just going to end up removing the interim title? Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I could talk about this situation for a long time, but it's like the one thing that is really I'm sorry. I mean, as a sports fan, I don't care what happens on the court as much over the next couple of years. It's really about off the court, because, I mean, off the court, the trust, the everything that you're supposed to be as a coach was ruined. The trust, the compassionate element, the actual being a human being was destroyed by Chris Gonzalez. This program was destroyed by Chris Gonzalez. And the one thing that I, like I said earlier, that really irritates me is when a university, when a coach belittles, abuses, and just flat out ignores student athletes. I mean, student athletes are the ones that make the program go. Student athletes come from all over the country, all over the world, to come play for a coach, right? And so when a coach abuses that trust, and then a person on that staff is still a head coach, what in the heck do you think these players in the back of their mind have? I mean, they have those experiences on their mind. I mean, it's not lazy. It is incompetent. And we've been saying this athletic department. And I'm sorry. I mean, I know that I do write for the university, so I kind of have to be careful, but this university has let down every single student athlete. I'm sorry, they have. I mean, besides one sport that has gotten the right hires, and then a soccer team that hasn't been touched, thank goodness. But then, I mean, you look at women's basketball, right? Women's basketball has gone through 3 head coaches in 3 seasons. I mean, now we're now on the other side of that. But still, I mean, the men's basketball team had one of probably the worst coaches ever in college basketball here for 4 seasons. But the one thing I will say, none of those coaches, it's been proven they have abused players. Those coaches were not total. Those coaches did not have red flags going into the job. I mean, there were people in the volleyball community telling Terry Golic to not hire Chris Gonzalez. She did it, and then as soon as players came to her with the abuse allegations, she ignored them. And so, why in the heck should we come out and support support Terry Golic? Should we support a volleyball program when they have let down the student athletes, the students of this school, the families of the student athletes, and everyone involved? So I think that this should have been a hire to reset the Vandal volleyball and to wipe the slate clean.
Yeah, I agree with everything Jaden said. I mean, maybe less aggressively, but also he's not incorrect. I mean, this is a proud historical volleyball program that one person has decided to let it just get washed down the drain. And I mean, at this point, if I'm a volleyball player anywhere, I'm not coming to the University of Idaho.
Absolutely not.
The amount of recruits that we've lost just in Moscow to nearby schools, mm-hmm. we've had 2 players go to WSU, a handful of players just go literally anywhere else that they can get an offer to go to.
Yeah.
Idaho Vandal volleyball. It's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very telling that people from Moscow are going to Lewis and Clark State College over Idaho.
Yeah.
I mean, or they're getting offers. And, I mean, people of this community are not even coming to the University of Idaho for a campus tour. Mm-hmm. I mean, volleyball in Moscow is dead for right now. And it's all because we've allowed someone to ruin it. Like, and no, for once, I'm not, like, over-exaggerating. This program is ruined. And now we're now going to have to baby step rebuild. And, I mean, if we go through scandals, right, that have happened throughout the country, the Baylor men's basketball, it took them almost 20 years to rebuild from that. And that one, I mean, yeah, that one was a lot worse than what this one was. But it was the same type of scandal. And that took 20 years. I mean, you had the whole Penn State thing with Jerry Sandusky. It's, I mean, again, terrible. But these programs have gone through it, and it's taken them 10, 15, 20 years to get back. So I don't know if it's going to take that long, and I don't know how much of a leash that Kurskova will be under, but it's very telling that and to go back to your point, three candidates, are you kidding me? Like, why only three?
Yeah.
Like, you are trying to national search a hire, so actually nationally search a hire. I mean, for when Coach Eck left, we interviewed more people for that job than we did for the volleyball job, and Coach Ford got hired like 3 days after. So, I don't know. It is infuriating to me, and it's more infuriating to me that, like, as a human being, Chris Gonzalez would do that, and as a human being, a Title IX representative, someone of that stature would allow that to happen, and then to continue to have this thing on the name of Vandal Volleyball is just not a smart decision.
It should also be noted, and Terry Golic admitted this, she didn't, so when she hired Alex Pribble and she hired Carrie Amy, she used a search firm,
yeah.
Looked all over the country for candidates. For some insane reason, she didn't do that for volleyball.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And no. I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier that if I were a volleyball player, I wouldn't come to the University of Idaho. I just want to shout out the players who are willing to go through this, who are willing to go through at least a year or two of a rebuild. Starting back in January 10th, Sarah Sullivan signed. She'll be an outside hitter. Kiana Greer will be a libero / DS out of Torrance, California. Sullivan's out of Nevada. From Hungary, Senge Kirkoski, I think, is coming in. Out of Honolulu, Hawaii, Kaylee Wakataki is coming in. And then also out of good old Helena, Montana, I have to pull this up real quick, will be a player. If Instagram will load, I'll tell you who it is. Chloe Sanders coming out of Clancy, Montana, technically, but basically Missoula or Helena. So, I mean, there are players who are willing to come here, maybe be here for the long haul, or at least a year or two to try and help out in an impossible situation. And I don't know how long Coach Kriskova's contract is, what it entails. The university hasn't posted it yet. They also haven't posted Terry Golic's extended contract yet, so I'm not going to hold my breath on when Kriskova's contract will be posted. But, I mean, this is just an all-around weird situation for Idaho to put itself in, and I wish the best for Coach Kriskova.
Yes, yeah.
I hope that, you know, she's able to detach herself from the worst man I've ever had the displeasure of talking to. I hope she's able to lead this program back to the, you know, the glory days that we had in 2018, or win 5 games. I'll be happy with 5, 6, 7 wins.
Yeah, and I mean, exactly your point is that we are not hoping this thing fails. I would be amazed if she comes in and she wins, but she also builds a culture.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that a team is first off the court, off the practice court. It is a family. I mean, these players come from all the way across the world, actually.
Literally.
And so the volleyball team is a family. And so you first have to build those steps first. And so it might not be pretty. I mean, it's not going to be like, we're not going to go from one win to 20 wins, but I believe we are going to see some progress, and I really hope that Coach Kryskova is the answer, and I do wish the best for her, the student-athletes, and everyone involved inside the volleyball program, because no one wants to see a team fail, and especially one win in six sets, and to have everything that's been going on inside this program for the last 3 years, I'm really hoping that we see some positives.
Yeah, it would be really nice, and this will be a really great transition for the next thing we'll talk about.
Yeah.
It would be really nice to see kind of, you know, Coach Kryskova do what head coach Zach Claus did a couple years ago and go from one win to 10. Now, will that happen? Maybe not. Now, did he do that and then still get fired? Yes. However, it would be a nice change in pace as somebody who's been here for 4 years to win maybe six games if we're lucky. I mean, I'd be happy with four, to be honest. I'd be happy with zero if we get, or I'd be happy with one if it's a conference win.
Yeah.
I mean, the bar for Coach Kryskova to succeed is literally keeping your players happy, winning two games. Like,
yeah.
As long as you do that, you can probably hold on to your job for another few years at least. And you're able to build this program back up, even though you're technically kind of still attached to all the issues. You were never a name that people were like, oh my gosh, get her out of here because she's awful.
Yeah.
You're a name that we just, there's not enough out there to know, you know, what Coach Kryskova can do as a head coach because she's never done this before.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, she also doesn't have a whole lot of coaching experience.
At all, yeah. And that was the thing is that all of our first-time head coaching hires have had years and years and years of coaching experience. Coach Arthur Moreira coached at University of San Francisco, and then Coach Ford has a long list.
Like 20 years of experience as an assistant grad student.
Ever since 2007. Yeah. And so she really hasn't had any coaching experience at all, and now to be challenged to be a head coach at a Division I program, it's brutal. I mean, to say the least. And she doesn't have expectations, but she also doesn't have that much room to fail either. I mean, it's a very tight rope of.
Yeah.
She can't get worse. I mean,
she technically could win no games.
No, but. No. What I'm saying is that she really doesn't have. She can't afford to get worse.
Yeah.
And so if she gets better, it's going to be like, okay, well, she got a bit better. So it's definitely going to be a process, and we're definitely going to have to see. And again, I hope that everything turns out well.
I hope that in about 3 years we get a Trevin Pixley column that says Coach Kryskova is on the right track.
Yeah.
And I'll be pleased. Or
yes.
Vandal Volleyball is on the right track under so-and-so.
Yeah,
if Kryskova doesn't
exactly.
stay or not. But as Jaden said, I mean, you wish the best for this team.
Yeah.
And you hope that things just aren't nearly as
bad.
They can't get worse. You know, it kind of can't get worse.
Yeah.
So now that another group of people with a mic talked about the volleyball program.
Yeah.
Talking to you, Mr.
Ha-ha, Brian.
So, in my defense, I don't have a good excuse, though, why we didn't talk about this last week, to be honest. But
and it's at our defense, we both totally forgot.
Yeah. That, yeah. I was trying to come up with a good excuse, but that didn't happen. So, speaking of excuses, Idaho State basketball is playing today. against the University of Idaho Vandals. I couldn't come up with a better transition. That's what we're going to roll with.
Hey, that works.
Idaho State men are taking on the Vandals down in Pocatello at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. The men are coming off a huge, huge win over Weber State, 82-74. Weber State had won 11 of the last 12 against the Vandals, 12 of the last 13 in whatever the heck they call their arena. But the
Ogden,
men,
Utah.
I don't know what happens in Ogden. I don't want to know what happens in Ogden.
No one does, trust me.
But Vandals had an all-around good game. Tyler Morris leading the charge, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 6 for 9 from the field, 4 for 7 from 3, 5 for 5 from the free throw line. Christian Gonzalez getting the ball about 6 times in the final 2 minutes, getting fouled a whole bunch. So he had 14 points, 2 of 8 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3, but 10 for 13 from the free throw line. He was 9 of 9 until both commentators hit him with the commentator curse. And then Jack Payne finishing with 12 points, 4 for 8 from the field, 50% from the three-point line at 3 for 6. And Tyler Linhart off the bench, 11 points in 18 minutes, 2 for 4 from the field, 6 for 6 from the free throw line, 1 for 2 from the 3. This was just a, you know, rough it out game for the Vandals. We're able to kind of spread it a little further there at the end and force Weber State to foul. But just an all around team effort.
Yeah.
JoJo Anderson didn't score, but didn't really do much. But he only played in 5 minutes. Isaiah Brickner, in 16 minutes, 5 points, 4 rebounds. Also had 4 fouls, though, and 3 turnovers and 1 assist. So not a great game for him. But Juice Mims also came off the bench in this game, only played in 17 minutes, which outside of not playing at all might be a career low for him, if I had to guess. But in those 17 minutes, 5 points and 7 rebounds, 3 fouls. So, still, you know, he's been battling through injuries all season.
Yeah.
Especially with those really skinny legs of his. And so, you know, 17 minutes from Juice and you still come out with a win. Pretty good day for the Vandals. Especially going in to probably the biggest game of the season, because this one's on the road. Second biggest game of the season, I would say, is February 27th when Idaho State comes up here.
Yeah, they come here, yeah.
But, Jane, you did a bit of a scouting report on the Idaho State men's basketball team. You probably know about the folks down in Pokey more than I do. So
yeah,
I'm going to let you give some insight on the team that is surprisingly below the Vandals in the rankings, or standings, sorry. The Idaho State men's basketball team, Jaden, go ahead and take it away for us.
Yeah, I mean, they are a solid team. I mean, they are led by Washington State transfer Dylan Darling, 17 points a game. He's been outstanding. I mean, I wouldn't say he's the best player in the Big Sky, but he's definitely up there. He's going to definitely be a problem. Colton Mitchell goes back to Pocatello after a transfer. Let's just say there were some folks at Pocatello that were happy that he transferred from there and came here. So that game, we can expect some fireworks from that game. Me being only 45 minutes away from Pocatello, this game obviously means a lot to me. Always, every year. This is the game that I look forward to the most. It's the game that I talk the most trash. I'm so excited for the 27th when I can actually talk trash. But it's going to be a good game. I mean, they also have a Fruitland, Idaho native, Jake O'Neill, who's their second leading scorer. And then they have AJ Griffin, and I mean, just solid players. They are like the exact team from last year, besides not having Miguel Tomley, who transferred to Weber State. He has actually left the Weber State program for personal reasons. He might be back, maybe not. I don't know. But they failed Miguel Tomley's role with Dylan Darling, who's been a darling to watch. I mean, he has been a stud all year, and so he's gonna be challenged, especially with his size and speed, going up against Colt Mitchell, who is a great basketball player, but he lacks the size and the physicality that Darling will bring.
Yeah, Dylan Darling, he's missed a couple of games, it looks like. Yeah. But he's played in 17 of Idaho State's 19 games. As Jaden mentioned, averaging 17 points a game. He's the fifth leading scorer in the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah.
Just a good player. I mean, this isn't a game that Idaho is going to walk into and you know, win or lose by 20. This is going to be the definition of a close game. I mean, you look at these two teams, Idaho's middle of the pack in offense in the Big Sky Conference, averaging 74.6 points a game, sitting at 10-12.
Middle of the pack, dang.
Well, they're sixth, technically, so they're just below middle of the pack.
That's crazy.
Northern Colorado leads the conference with 81.4 points a game. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Still couldn't beat us, though. And then Idaho State, they've only played in 19 games. I don't know why they haven't played in two or three more, but I'm not the one who makes their schedule. So, but they're averaging 74.3 points per game.
So only 0.2 more than us?
Yeah, or 0.3 less than us.
Less. Okay.
Yeah. And then, but you look at Idaho State's defense.
Very good.
They're only giving up 68.4 points a game, while Idaho's giving up 74.5. So
yeah,
this is going to be, like I said, one of the biggest games of the season. We'll talk about the women's team here in a second, but the men need to pick up at least one of these.
And I mean, I would rather us win there because we haven't won there in a long time. I mean, the 2 years I've been here, we've lost by over 10 both times down there, so it's gonna be a good one. I'm the one thing about the Bengals is they are an outstanding rebounding team. They were at one point a top 5 in the nation team in rebounding. I don't know what they are now, but they're an outstanding rebounding team. I know head coach Ryan Lodi prides himself on that. My dad also prides himself in watching them do that. So, shout out to my dad. Actually going to a Bengal game for like the third time this season. So, he's very excited to watch them play today. So, but it is going to be a very interesting game. I think for Idaho to win, we're going to have to get stops. I mean, I think that's what I've said all year. I mean, we cannot continue to be in these shootout games. I mean, because as the year goes, we don't have that depth that Montana, Portland State, Eastern, I mean, all these teams have. They have this depth. We don't have that. I mean, we have 7 or 8 guys that are good, but Juice has been injured. Kyson just came back.
Jaden Stevens is
Jaden
injured.
I mean,
maybe he's still injured. I don't know.
Stevens is injured. Colt Mitchell's been banged up. JoJo Stevens has been.
JoJo
Anderson. My bad, JoJo. He's been banged up a little bit. Isaiah Breckner. I mean, our entire roster's pretty much been injured at some point. So the health, the depth is definitely a question for us. So I'm very intrigued to see how our team responds playing in the black and orange ugly ugly court.
Yeah, Jaden, you mentioned these shootout games. I'll give you one guess as to what the point margin for the University of Idaho basketball team is.
And like 0.4, 0.5.
0.1.
Yeah, yeah. It's very small this season.
Idaho has been winning games on average by 0.1 points.
Yes. I mean,
for comparison,
close game.
NAU is winning them by the margin they beat us by 8.
Yeah.
Portland State's winning by 7.8. NOCO, which we beat, winning by 7.4. Idaho State's winning their games by 5.9. I mean, we are, if it weren't for...
It's balanced, that's
yeah.
for sure. We are the key definition of balanced.
The Big Sky Conference is the second, has the second least amount of blowouts in all of college basketball.
It's fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
It's great that we're seeing close games. I mean, see, the close games isn't my concern. It's the 80-80, 70-80, I mean, these high-scoring, high-tempo games for a team like our Wibbit. Okay, that's fine. But when our men who do not play that way, probably won't ever play that way under Coach Pribble, which is fine. I mean, it's a great way to play how they're playing. And so I'm very intrigued to see this game. And I hope we get a win there because I have not had bragging rights for a men's team in a long time. So,
yeah, to go through the Idaho men's basketball record against Pocatello,
not good.
2-12 on the road since 2004, 6-5 at home.
Not good.
The men won here 55-53 last season, lost in Pocatello 64-59.
Oh, then, okay, so the game was a lot closer then.
Yeah, so you look at 2022-23, 2021-22, 2021, Pocatello won all of the games in that stretch, eight of them, and or seven of them, sorry, including that one game in 2024. So before last season, the last time Idaho had won against the Bengals at all was on March 7th, 2020, winning 80-76. The last time they won in Pocatello was January 14th, 2017, in the 2016-2017 season when they won 77-62. That was in the middle of the longest winning streak that Idaho has had against this team, tied at three, winning in 2015-2016, and then both games in 2016-2017. But it has not been pretty.
No,
Idaho goes down to Pocatello, but maybe who knows, this could be the year.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
The game starts in 2 hours and 15 minutes. Should be a good game. The spread is 5.5 in favor of Idaho State. So, also if I were you, I would take the over. It's at like 140 or something.
Yeah.
So, with all that being said, the more important, more fun game of the day is happening at 2 p.m. as the women take on the Idaho State Bengals here in Moscow for Blackout the Bengals game, also National Girls and Women in Sports Day. This is going to be a very different story. Probably, maybe. I mean, I feel like I said that against Portland State as well, and it was very, very close.
NAU,
which was a 30-point game.
Which we don't have to talk about that.
No, but we can mention the Weber State game. The Vandals got back to their winning ways after losing 106-76 to NAU on the road. We don't need to talk about it, like Jaden said. But won the Teddy Bear Toss game 77-62. Before we dive into Idaho State.
Some scoreboard malfunctions.
Yeah, the final quarter that scoreboard just straight up wasn't working. But,
yeah.
So I didn't know the score until like 20 minutes after the game actually finished. It was 77-62. And one thing I need to mention.
Uh-oh.
I don't ever talk poorly about refs in the Big Sky Conference. Ever. Never.
Yeah, okay.
Never happened.
Uh-huh, sure.
Idaho won this game by 15 points, right?
Yep.
They shot 6 free throws, made 5 of them.
Yep.
Rosie shot 4, and Ella shot 2. Weber State women's basketball, the only reason this wasn't a 30-point game, they went to the free throw line 20 times. They made 19 of them.
Yep.
Jaden, I'm no mathematician, but yeah, the difference between 20 and 6 in a basketball game, especially when the away team has the 20-6 advantage,
yeah,
is insane.
Well, I know that not very many people in Moscow have spoken to Coach Art or Jarek Walcott. both of them had things to say about the... I'm just going to say this so that Coach Art and Jarek don't A, get in trouble, and B, get mad at me. They were not pleased with some of the no calls that were... specifically... our two guards, right? Two of the most driving guards in the conference. Not one free throw.
Nope.
Olivia Nelson, who drives every single time she gets the ball. 30 points, none from the free throw line.
And only 2 from beyond the arc.
Did not even go to the line. Hope Hassman, who is still the most fouled person, probably besides Jen, inside the conference, did not attempt a free throw.
Yep.
I mean, Jen did not attempt a free... I mean, guys, come on. 6 free throws, and so it wasn't like Weber State wasn't fouling. They were... I mean...
They hit Jen directly on the arm in front of all 3 refs, and it wasn't called.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, we shouldn't, like, go on and on and on about the reffing, because it's going to be the same thing every game. I mean, it's the same thing. But that game was a very good get-back game for the Vandals, 77 points. They out-rebounded Weber by, I think, 14, 15, had 17 O-boards on them, had 19 assists. That was the stat that really stuck out to me. Weber State only had, I think, 5, 6, something like that.
5 assists to Idaho's 19.
Yeah, so
35 rebounds to Idaho's 50.
Yeah, so big time in those stats. I mean, defensively, I will say I believe both teams went on a generational drought inside that amazing third quarter. Both teams combined
12 to 11.
Yeah, combined for 23. I'm sorry, guys. I cannot do math right now.
Yeah, it'll happen to you.
And ball, I think Idaho was like 5 for 24, and so that quarter was definitely a quarter to throw away. But the other 3 quarters were great. And speaking about a person that was great, Olivia Nelson was fantastic, like she has been. 30 points on 14 of 21 shooting. Again, like we said, none of those from the free throw line. 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. She was outstanding. She also made a SportsCenter top 10 play, which even though some of the trolls, probably Idaho State fans on Twitter, were saying it shouldn't have been, definitely should have been. If you have no idea what the heck I'm talking about, go to Idaho Vandals Women's Basketball Twitter, Instagram, and you will definitely see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was a career high 30 points for Olivia Nelson as well. And hopefully she can provide the same output today as Idaho takes on Idaho State. like I said, it's probably going to be a much different game than the men's game will be. Idaho has the third best offense in the Big Sky Conference, 68.1 points a game. Idaho State averaging 60.5 points a game. Defensively, Idaho only allowing 58.6 points a game, which probably quite inflated after they let up 106.
Yeah.
But Idaho State allowing 66.4 points a game. These two teams are obviously going to have a good game because it's, you know, one of the games for King Spud. It's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
But Idaho State sits at 2-6 in the conference, 0-4 on the road, 7-12 overall.
Yeah.
Coming off a tough one to you, Eastern Washington.
Yeah. To say the least.
It's a really rough way to end a game. But Idaho State women have not traveled well. Like I mentioned, 0-4 in conference, 1-8 on the road overall.
Yeah.
Eastern Washington's only slightly worse than them, 0-10 on the road.
Which is a crazy state.
Weber State, 2-8 on the road. Montana, 2-6 on the road. Sac State, 3-6 on the road. And then you look at the top teams in the conference. Montana State, 7-2 on the road overall, 4-0 in conference, 9-0 overall in conference.
Montana State. Okay.
Yeah, Montana State. And then NAU is 4-0 on the road, 7-1 in conference play. They're only lost to Montana State.
Okay, in conference play. I was like,
yeah.
There's no way they only played four away games.
No, 7-4 on the road, yeah. And then Idaho. 6-4 on the road, 9-1 at home, 7-2 overall, only losing to the two teams ahead of them, Montana State and NAU.
I mean, shout out those four losses. Two of them are to BYU and Washington State. And then, it's going to be a game. And I do think this game is going to be a lot harder, I think, for Idaho because Idaho State has length. They have height. And so they are going to bother Hope and live a lot more. I mean, you have Casey Spink, a Spokane native, 5'9". I think you and I went through the roster. They have like five or six guards that are 5'9".
Yeah, they're really tall.
They have 6'3". So it's going to be a very aggressive game. After the game, Coach Art said that it's going to be about toughness. Last year, he said that really the Vandals were shocked by them. I believe we lost by, 10?
I'm not entirely sure, but I will check real quick. Keep talking while I find this.
But, yeah, I mean, it's last year we lost the game here, and then we beat them off a Sarah Schmidt foul shot.
Lost by 5, 61 to 56.
So, I mean, not terrible, but still, we should not lose them at home. I am not expecting us to lose, but I do think it's going to be a closer game than what everyone is expecting. Although, I say that every time Idaho and Idaho State play, mainly soccer. I have said that all 3 years, and Idaho soccer has beaten them 4-0 all 3 years. So, but it's definitely a game to come out and watch. Please, 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 please come out and watch. Please come out and support this team. I don't know if this success is going to be a year thing with us having so many really good players right now. Come out and watch Olivia Nelson, who's on the best streak of her career. That is a quote from Coach Art, so don't take my word for it. I'm very excited for this game. I am very, very, again, I'm going to say this for the 10th time. I'm very intrigued about this matchup. I watched Idaho State against NAU and Feldman lit them up for like 23, 24. So I am expecting us to win. I mean, If I was to give a prediction of score, which I'm so good at, by the way,
Yeah, if anybody wants to go listen to all the Spotify episodes that we finally have put out there and yeah. check our track record, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I would predict like – I would do like 67, 60. I think that would be this type of game. It's not going to be a 20, 30-point game like Idaho fans seem to think it is, but – It's gonna be a game to come out and watch and enjoy some afternoon basketball on the Palouse.
Yeah, I'm one of those Idaho fans that think this is gonna be a different game than what Jaden thinks. mostly because I'm super optimistic about Idaho basketball.
Oh, and so am I.
But... I was saying that sarcastically. I know. I'm very rarely.
Optimistic
yes, for anything.
Yeah.
But I think Idaho's gonna remind Idaho State what team runs the state of Idaho. I think the women are gonna pick up like a 75-58 win.
Yeah,
sure. That sounds like a good score to me.
17
point victory. The reason I say that is I feel like the men will likely lose today, and I feel like it's probably going to be
optimistic streak.
Probably going to be a 7-8 point game, but that means that the women can win again, and even if the men lose, there's a 9-point margin differential, and we have plenty of wiggle room for Kings. But the men just have to not get blown out. Really, like you could lose by 3. In both games, as long as the women win by 7 combined in both games.
Time. Yeah, I mean...
And you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good game. I don't say this lightly, but we cannot say we run Idaho until King Spud is back up in Moscow.
That's fair.
So, we are really hoping that very ugly... ugly trophy will be sitting in the P1FCU Kibbe Dome on probably the 28th because the women's team will have to pick up the trophy and bring it all the way back to Moscow and place it on my 21st birthday.
How exciting. Yeah. Well, folks, that is all the time that Jaden and I have to talk about Vandal Athletics.
I'd love to speak more, but...
Yeah, well...
We've only got an hour's show, so...
Yeah, and the robot made us start slightly late, so...
That's true.
Thank you all for tuning in to the second best sports podcast in Idaho. Hopefully the first best.
It is definitely the first best.
Well, we'll see in a couple months if we won. But thank you all for tuning in. I greatly appreciate your listenership. I'm going to run and go get something to drink, and then I'll be right back into the studio for Jamming with James. But thank you all again, whether you're listening on KUOI 89.3 FM Live, KUOI.com or .org, sorry, KUOI.org. /radio or on Spotify. Thank you all again and have a fantastic rest of your day.